Well, we're thankful for you hearty souls who are here on this last Sunday of 2017. It's not an easy day to get out of a warm bed, and you know, but thank you for being here and for honoring the Lord with your presence and blessing us with your presence. I guess tomorrow it's supposed to be twice as cold as it is today. Well, I have a book of theology for you this morning. I have a book of theology. It's called The Three Little Pigs. And this is a book that you may have read. You may have never thought that this was a theological book, but it is. As a matter of fact, it has a lot of theology in this little book. And of course, it begins, as all great stories begin, once upon a time, there was an old pig who had three little pigs. And she had no money to keep them, so she sent them off to seek their fortune. And of course, the first little pig met a man carrying a bundle of straw. And you know how the story goes. Give me some of your straw. And he built his house with straw. But it wasn't too long before that along came a wolf. And he knocked on the door and he said, little pig, let me come in. No, said the little pig, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. And we know what happened. And then there was a little pig that met a man with a load of sticks, and the same thing happened again. Little pig, let me in. Not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. And the story goes on. Now, if you saw the Disney version of this book, then you know that the first two little pigs ran and they found shelter and refuge in the home of the third little pig, because he built his house with bricks. But there's a lot of theology in this little book, because it deals with the pig's belief. It deals with their belief system. The first little pig believed that his house would be secure if he built it out of straw. That if the wolf showed up at the door, he'd be able to deal with that problem. You know, everybody has a belief system. Everybody has a theology. And those three little pigs had a theology. In fact, they even put their theology to music. You remember that little song they used to sing? Who's afraid of the big bad wolf, the big bad wolf, the big bad wolf? They put their belief to a song. But when the wolf came to the door, what they believed in didn't hold up, did it? Except for the third little pig. They depended on something that wasn't dependable. And their fear was directly related to the things that they were depending on. You see, if what they were counting on was solid, they had nothing to fear. But it wasn't. The first two little pigs found out that wood and hay are not enough to deal with the wolf when he shows up at the door. But of course, this is just a children's story, right? Or is it? What are we? We are about to begin a whole new year. A year filled with new opportunities, new fears, new challenges, new dangers, new blessings. What are we depending on as we start this new year? What are we looking to for support and guidance? We're going to begin taking a look at the book of Joshua. For the book of Joshua is all about entering into what God has for you. It's all about entering into the promised land. So if you'd like to turn to the book of Joshua, we're beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The opening verses of this chapter in Joshua really give you an outline for the whole book. And the key to their success in the promised land will be that they keep faith with God and they obey what he said. Because faith and obedience always lead to success. Now, this book is a wonderful book because it declares what God intends for his people and where he wants them, how he wants to bless them. And faith that believes that as I have been, I will be with you. You know, the past is past. Notice how this passage begins. It came about after the death of Moses. I mean, think about the central figure of Moses. Think about how important he was to that nation. He founded the nation of Israel. He welded them into, from 12 tribes, he welded them into a nation. He was the one who went and talked to God personally. He was the one who gave them the law. He was the one who led them through the wilderness. He was the one who went face to face, toe to toe with Pharaoh, which would be like going to the superpower of the day and going face to face against him. The background of this, of course, is Moses' death. In Deuteronomy 34, it says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And God buried him in the valley of the land of Moab. No one knows his burial place to this day. Although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim, nor his vigor abated. So the sons of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. And over again, do you get the refrain about how Moses is described here? Joshua 1, verse 2, Moses, my servant. Joshua 1, 7, be careful to do all that Moses, my servant, commanded. Joshua 1, 13, remember the word of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Joshua 1, 15, possess that which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you. Five times in this one chapter, Moses, my servant. Three times it says, my servant, or the servant of the Lord. Five times. That's an important thing to think about. Moses, as great as he was, the greatest praise that could be afforded him was that he was a servant of God. Do you know that Joshua is not called a servant of God until the end of the book of Joshua? What is it that Jesus said to those that were faithful? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Right now, at this point in our lives, God is giving us a few things. Will we be faithful with those things? Because if we are, greater things are coming. Moses left a large, large pair of shoes to fill, didn't he? Or I guess you could say sandals. God buries his workers, but God's work goes on. How would you like to be Joshua at this point in history, in the history of Israel? Who can measure up to Moses? Did you ever feel like you didn't measure up? You weren't smart enough, clever enough, didn't have enough energy, enough money, whatever? Think about Joshua. He's got millions of people depending upon him. Young, old, and they're all looking to him. Moses had a track record with God. Joshua, too, had a bit of a track record. If you look at Exodus 33, verse 11, it says that Moses would go and talk to God at the tent of meeting, at the tabernacle, face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, would not depart from the tent. His name is Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. It's kind of like what Jesus says in John chapter 11, where he says, I am the resurrection. That's my name. That's who I am. I'm the resurrection. Joshua's name means God is salvation, and he was the son of Nun, which means to increase. Moses could not bring the people into the promised land, but Joshua will. He was the attendant of Moses, it says, from his youth, number 11. But it's not until the end of the book that does he get the praise of being called the servant of the Lord. Now look what God does here. He states the obvious. Verse 2. Now, this is a very unusual verse if you think about it. Moses, my servant, is dead. Remember, they just mourned for Moses for 30 days. They just had this big funeral. Why is God saying this to Joshua? Maybe is Joshua a little slow? He can get all the facts? Remember, Moses disappeared before, and then he would come back. He went up to the mountain for 40 days. He was on the mountain of God for 40 days, and then he came back. But this time, Moses is gone, and he ain't coming back. Again, how would you feel? The guy who led you, brought you out of bondage and slavery, led you for 40 years, and now he's gone. Talk about a hole. Moses, my servant's dead, Joshua. Whatever 2017 was, good or bad, whatever things God did in that year, this past year, it's over. The past is past. But some people don't want to accept that. Some people don't want to accept that the past is past. They keep trying to bring the past into the present, into the future. Do you know there are 84,000 people in the United States who make their living on the past? They keep trying to bring the past into the present. 84,000 people, according to the IRS. There are over 400 official fan clubs around the world, and their whole thing is to keep the past alive. They celebrated in August of 2017, because that was the anniversary of his death, according to the Voice of America reports. They keep trying to keep the past alive. Did you know there are 84,000 Elvis impersonators in the United States, people who make their living impersonating Elvis? I got news for everybody. Elvis has left the building. 2017 is over. Whatever good, whatever bad, it's over. Moses, my servant, is dead. Because if we don't accept that, embrace it, we can't move into what God is going to do. Lots of people try to live in the past. You can't go forward into what God wants for you by looking backward. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now arise and cross over this Jordan. Now arise and cross over this Jordan. That little word now means do it now. Why now? Here they are on the east side of the Jordan. Now cross over. Why now? Well, because in Joshua 3:15 it tells us that the Jordan overflows its banks all the time during the harvest. During the harvest season, the Jordan River is flooded. It's very difficult to cross. Now, Joshua, go now. Well, God, why can't we wait till the summertime when the water goes down? No, now, Joshua. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 7, God says to Joshua, today, this day, I will begin to exalt you, lift you up in the sight of all Israel. Do you think God didn't know that the people were doubting whether Joshua could do the job? Can he take over from Moses? Is he good enough? Is he as good as Moses was? God says to Joshua, I'm going to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. As I have been with Moses, I will be with you. God has them cross, try to cross this river in the midst of a flood. kind of reminds you of another body of water that they had to cross, the Red Sea. God is teaching his people, as I have been with Moses, I will be with Joshua. You can trust Joshua. You can trust me. Now is the time to cross. And Joshua must step out in faith too. This is the time. Down in Egypt, God fought all their battles. They didn't have to fight at all. No Israelite had to strap on a sword, pick up a spear, grab a shield, or do anything. God did all the fighting in Egypt. Now arise. Cross over this Jordan to the land that I am giving to you, to the sons of Israel. But now they're all going to have to fight, aren't they? Now, is God giving them the land, or are they fighting for the land? Well, it's really both. God's going to do his part, but they have to do their part. Do you think there are some things that maybe God wants to lead us into in 2018 that are going to require our involvement? God will give us the opportunity, but we'll have to step out into it. God has given them the land, but they must fight for it. In fact, they will go on fighting for many years for this land, but it is the promised land. This is the pattern that oftentimes God uses with his people. In 1 Chronicles chapter 14, David says to God, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Shall I go fight them?" The Lord says, "Go. I have given them into your hand." There is a divine partnership that takes place as we grow up in the Lord. As we grow up spiritually, and when we're young in the Lord takes care of everything, just like parents do for their babies. But there comes a time when you take your first step, or mommy and daddy say, okay, now it's time to pick up your toys. It's time to take your steps. Get dressed. We're not going to dress you. Get dressed. Part of spiritual growth is engaging in this battle, this spiritual battle yourselves, with the help of God. At every place the sole of your foot treads, your foot. All the places, literally, that you stand in. This means a standing place, a station, a post where soldiers are on guard, a place where people live. Every place that your soul, your foot of your soul, walks, I've given it to you. Do you get the personal involvement there? They have to step out, and God will give it to them. If they sit there by the edge of the River Jordan and don't take a step into the promised land, guess what? They're not going to possess it. That's the same as true in spiritual life. If we sit back and we don't step out, guess what? We don't discover all that God has for us. We cling to the dock. I myself have promised, he says in that verse. I myself have promised. I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. You know, God's plan, his program doesn't change for his people. All the way back in Genesis chapter 13, verse 15, God says to Abraham, "From the land which you see, I give it to you and your descendants forever. Arise, walk about the land through its length and its breadth, and I will give it to you." Is there anybody here this morning that has experienced all that God has for them? Is there anybody here this morning that knows everything they need to know about God? Is there anybody here this morning who knows all that God is going to do through them? All the people they're going to speak to, all the people they're going to minister to, the impact their life is going to have. Is there anybody here this morning that knows that? I don't think so. And God has a lot more for us than maybe we've even begun to expect or understand. And it isn't until we lift our foot up and put it down in a new place that we begin to see God has something more for us. Deuteronomy 11, every place on which the sole of your foot treads. Do you want to see God do something great through your life? Then it's going to require getting out of the boat. I don't know what that will be for each one and every one of us. But perhaps it will be, maybe you'll start a Bible study with some of your friends. Or maybe you'll make it a point to zero in on one of your friends and start praying for them and then share the gospel with them. Maybe there's people you've never talked to about the Lord. Maybe there's some ministry. You know, the fields are widened to harvest, Jesus said. And who's going to possess the land? Well, the people of God are supposed to. He gives them the dimensions of how big this is. It's from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea, to the setting of the sun will be your boundary. The land that God promised Israel went all the way from Iraq, where the river Euphrates is, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, up into Asia Minor. The land of the Hittites, he says. The land of the Hittites. Hittites occupied Syria and Asia Minor. God had a lot more for Israel than they ever occupied. That's what I want to give you. This word he uses, that you shall possess it. You know, you shall possess, you shall get this land. I want to give you this land. You will possess it. That's a word that comes out of the Middle East. It means the act of a sovereign giving his warriors reward as they fought, because they fought in battle, he gives them lands. For a lot of years, higher critical scholars said there even weren't any Hittites. Hittites are all over the Old Testament. A lot of liberal scholars and higher critical scholars of the Bible said that the Jews invented this thing, the Hittites. The Hittites never existed. That's what they thought until they started to dig them up. A fellow named William Wright, in 1884, he dug up some of their writings. And he was followed by a guy named Hugo Winkler in 1906. They dug up over 10,000 tablets describing the whole Hittite culture. And this word that's used here, it comes out of that culture. I'm going to give it to you for your possession. That's what I'm going to give you. But God, how am I going to deal with all these people? I'm going to be fighting all these people. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. What a promise. Are we afraid of people? Are we afraid of people? No one will be able to stand before you, Joshua, all the days of your life. What are you worried about, Joshua? Who are you afraid of? Sometimes we get scared. Remember the first time they came up to the Promised Land, right after they came out of Egypt? They came up to the border of the Promised Land, and they sent the 12 spies in. And 10 of them came back and said, "We can't do it." They said, Numbers says 13:33, "We saw the Nephilim there, these big, tall people." They were Goliath was one of their descendants. "And we were like grasshoppers in their sight." What does a grasshopper do when you get near it? Boing. Now, none of us are afraid of people. We're rough, tough, you know. You know, fear holds a lot of people back from stepping out. Are we afraid to talk to people about Jesus? We were like grasshoppers in our sight. But now it's 40 years later. And what does God say to Joshua? Nobody's going to be able to stand against you, Joshua, because I'm with you. But if we don't believe that, then maybe we better jump when someone says, "Boo." The church is supposed to be triumphant because God is with us. The psalmist says in Psalm 56, "In God I put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Well, apparently, quite a lot. The truth is, we do care about what people think about us. And so that shuts our mouths many times. Well, I don't want to be considered a Bible thumper. I don't want to be considered weird. I want to fit in. Paul says in Romans, "What then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us?" They are going to need to know this because they're going to be fighting battle after battle after battle after battle. And if you think you're going into the battle all by yourself, you're going to be scared to death. No man's going to be able to stand before you, Joshua, all the days of your life. As I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I suggest to you that's a very important thing to know when 2018 dawns on us. Because there's none of us that knows what's going to be contained in this year. But I do know this. The things are heating up in North Korea. And we're coming to an impasse. I mean, this ain't rocket science. Oh, there will be war. How do you know? And we're going to need to know that God will be with us. As I've been with Moses, I'll be with you. What is the first thing that God says to Moses? First thing he says to Moses when he met Moses at the burning bush. Exodus 3. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? That I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" God said to him, "Certainly I'll be with you. You're not going to be there by yourself, Moses." You see, faith leads to success. When we believe that the God who was with Moses and Joshua and Peter, James, and John is the God who's with us, it's no problem. Yes, I know he's a lot older now, but he can still get the job done. "I will not leave you. I will not let you fail, or forsake you." Literally, "I will not let you drop out of my hand." That's what that word means. "I will not let you fall out of my hand." Reminds us of that other passage that, where Jesus says, "The Father is greater than all, and no one can take them out of my Father's hand." I won't abandon you. I won't abandon you. This is what God has been saying to his people since the beginning. Genesis 28. And the Lord says to Jacob, "I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land, Jacob. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." It's what Jesus says in the book of Hebrews to us. "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." Just for a moment, put yourself in Joshua's shoes. He must lead millions of people into an uncharted new land. He must face battle after battle after battle with foreign armies whose strength and weapons he doesn't even know. If he had trusted in himself, he surely would have failed. God always gets us in over our heads, folks, so he can get the glory. So he can get the glory. Don't be afraid about getting in over your head. That's exactly where God can demonstrate his power. This is nothing new for the people of God. Many, many years ago, King George VI of England was at a very critical time in the history of that country. It was New Year's Eve, 1951. It was the same day as this day. And at that moment in history, the world was shaking because the Korean War was raging and the communist Chinese were coming down upon that place, and it looked like they were going to use nuclear weapons and it was going to be another Third World War. And 1952 was dawning. And the king had to address his people. That's what leaders are supposed to do. They're supposed to reassure their people, address their people, give guidance to their people. And so what could the king say? The king himself didn't even know that he was dying of cancer when he made this speech. And that by the end of 1952, he wouldn't even be there. But this is what he said to the British people. "I said to the man at the gate of the year, at the beginning of the year, 'Give me a light that I might walk safely into the unknown.' And the man said to me, 'Go into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God, and you shall be safer than in the light, and it will be better for you than the known. Put your hand in the hand of God. How are we going into 2018? With faith in God and in His promises to us? Or are we trying to recapture something from 2017? Trying to hold on to something that is already past? You can't go forward by looking backward. It's not possible. What are we trusting in? What do we have faith in when the wolf comes to the door in 2018? Because I tell you, the wolf is going to come to the door in 2018. And he's going to huff and he's going to puff. That's what the wolf does. Faith and obedience provide success in the promised land. Only be strong. Notice how he repeats this over and over and over again. Be strong. Only be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Be strong. Be devoted. Be firm. Be courageous. Four times in this chapter. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I think God's saying something. You've got to have courage. In trust in Him. You have courage in Him. Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses, God tells Moses to tell Joshua this. Encourage him. You may be the person that's going to encourage somebody to step out this year. You may be somebody's Moses to encourage a young Joshua. We have a lot of young Joshuas and female Joshuas running around here. Deuteronomy, again, Moses calls to Joshua and says, Deuteronomy 31, be strong and courageous, over and over and over again. A lot of times people, somebody comes up to them and says, boo, are you a Christian? Huh? You know, scared to death. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. Why? Because you're going to lead the people. And if the people see you shaking your boots, the people aren't going to want to move forward. You be strong and courageous. It's important because you're the leader. For you shall cause this people to possess the land. You shall cause them to possess the land. Because of you, Lord. Joshua, you're going to bring them into what I have for them. Are you a leader to somebody? Are you leading someone? Are you giving confidence to someone to possess what God has for them? As I swore to your fathers, God reminds them again of what He already promised. I'm going to give you possession of the land, as I swore to your fathers to give to them. Exodus 23, God promised Israel, little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. He tells them it's going to be a process. This entering into spiritual maturity is a process. Exodus 6:8, I will bring you into the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give it to you possession, for possession. Again, this word possession, I mentioned that before. It means the giving of a king, giving land to his soldiers. Peter says it this way in the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, God has granted to us precious and magnificent promises so that by them, by His promises, we may become partakers of the divine nature. As we start to believe His promises and step out on His promises. A positive command and a negative command in verse 7. Only be strong and courageous. Why is God driving this point home? Because He knows that Joshua is going to be tempted to be afraid. Now, I know that nobody here this morning has ever been tempted to be afraid. But Joshua was. And just in case we are tempted to be afraid, God says to us, be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. I'm with you. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses your servant commanded you. Be careful to do. Literally, watch out, observe to do. Watch to do. Pay attention so that you may do. The Torah, which is what the word is that's used here. That tells us that the Old Testament, that part of the Old Testament that we're looking at this morning, these books, these first five books, the Pentateuch, were already written. Exodus 24, verse 4, Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. Deuteronomy 31, 24, Moses finished writing the words of the law in this book. Now, there are many seminaries and many universities around the world, places like Princeton and Yale and Harvard. They don't believe this anymore. They don't believe Moses wrote the Pentateuch. This verse is either true or it's false. The book either existed or it didn't. Verse 8, this book of the law. Now that says to me, the book already existed. Positive command, be careful to do. Negative command, and do not turn away. Do not let it depart. Do not turn away. Do not turn away to the right or left. Why? Then you'll have success. Literally, this word to prosper, to have success, can also be translated understand. Then you will understand and have success. And understanding and success often go together. You'll have success. What does Solomon say in the book of Proverbs? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. Why is obedience so important? Why is knowing what's in the book so important? Why is following instructions so important? Because that's the guarantee of success. But when you don't follow instructions, there are problems that result from that. When you decide to do it, or when we start to do our own way or follow our own understanding, we can cause a lot of grief. When we follow what other people think instead of what he said, what God thinks. This book of the Lord, law shall not depart. When we do that, we get off into problems. The importance of being obedient and following instructions was brought home in a very dramatic way when Chuck Yeager was testing an F-86 Sabre fighter aircraft, combat aircraft. He was flying over the Sierra Mountains. Chuck Yeager, of course, was probably the greatest air pilot that ever existed. He was testing out this F-86 Sabre, and he knew his friend lived in the Sierra Mountains, so he flew over his friend's house, and he was going to do a barrel roll over his house, say hello to him. He was about 150 feet off the ground, upside down. And that's when his aileron control surface in the plane locked in place. Now, normally, a pilot in that position would be killed because he wouldn't know how to get out of it. But Yeager managed to get the nose of the plane up. He climbed up to 15,000 feet, and he tried the same maneuver, and again, the aileron locked. So obviously, there was something wrong with the plane. They finally got the plane back to Earth safely. They tore it apart. You know what they found? They found that there was a bolt that stuck up, that every time you were in a barrel roll, that bolt would block the aileron. It would force the control surface to stick in place. How did that happen? The man on the production line, whose job it was to put the bolt in with the head down, decided he could put it in with the head up, because that's the way bolts are supposed to be put in. He wasn't following instructions. He wasn't following the commands. Yeager said, we never had the heart to tell him how many pilots he killed. Your obedience, my obedience, is important. It's important for us. in our spiritual lives, but it's also important for all the other people that are watching us. And when we don't obey, when we don't take it seriously, guess what happens to other people? Joshua's obedience is going to be critical to winning the battles that Israel will face in the Promised Land. Many people's lives depend on it. See, that's one of the glories of heaven. It's also one of the scary things about getting to heaven. Because in heaven, we're going to see the results of what we did. I suggest to you that doing things by the book is the way to go into 2018. These words shall not depart from your mouth. Now, that's not what you expect to read. You expect to read and say, these words shall not depart from your heart or from your ears. But notice what he says. He says, they don't let them depart from your mouth. Now, again, that means we need to be talking about these things. These words need to be coming out of our mouths. These words need to be a regular part of our conversation. Do the children ever hear us speaking of anything about the Bible? This single verse teaches us that Moses' writings, the commandments, the laws, the directives, are already in written form. Moses only followed, and God was only telling Joshua again what he had told Moses earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where he said, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. How big a role is the Bible going to have in our lives in 2018? How serious are we going to be about the Bible? How much time are we going to spend talking about it and studying it? Is it going to be more than 2017? I still meet Christians who've been in the church for 20 years, and if you ask them, have you read the Bible today? I didn't get around to it. Have you prayed today? I didn't get around to it. Folks, you can't grow spiritually that way. The Bible needs to be a regular part of our diet. Needs to be a regular part of our diet, because then it becomes part of our conversation. Then it becomes part of our thinking. And when it becomes part of our thinking, it affects our behavior. If we can watch 3 hours of television, we surely can spend 15 minutes reading the Bible a day. Again, I didn't write this. This word of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have success. Faith in God, obedience to His Word. Don't be troubled or dismayed. Don't be afraid. Joshua, don't be afraid. Verse 9, have I not told you? Have I not told you? What does he do again? Be strong and courageous. I think this is a word for 2018, because I think there are going to be some scary things in 2018. And we're going to need to be strong and courageous. We're going to need to, you know, buckle up. Trust in God. Don't tremble and be dismayed. Don't give in to despair. Earlier in Deuteronomy, Moses had said to the people, you shall not be afraid of these people in this land of Canaan that you're going into. You shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. Remember what I already did. The great trials. So shall the Lord your God do to all the people of whom you are afraid. You shall not dread them. For the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. Again, a lot of people are going to be scared around us. Fear is, I don't know if you see it, but all you got to do is watch the news. I was watching a report the other day about the Christmas markets in Germany. People are afraid to go to the Christmas markets because of what happened. Attendance is down. They're hunkering down. And when we get afraid, we don't step out. You know what Corrie Ten Boom said years ago? Corrie Ten Boom spent part of her life in a Nazi prison camp. She was a great saint. She wrote that book, The Hiding Place. She says, "Whenever I worry, I go to the mirror and I say to myself, this thing that I'm worrying about is beyond any solution. It is even too hard for Jesus Christ to do anything about. And after I've said that, I smile, and then I feel a little ashamed." You know, that's a good exercise the next time you get afraid. Go and study that to yourself. This problem is bigger than God can't even handle this. The Lord will guard your going out, your coming in, from this time forth and forevermore, the psalmist says. You know, we need to read the book and discuss it. Let it feed our souls. The past is past. We have good reason to have faith in God, but we don't want to hang on to what was. Let's go on into 2018 to what God has for us. And we must keep His word. For when we do and we act upon it, we'll have success. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that we would be the people of the book, that we would be people of the book, and that as we read your word, Lord, our confidence and our faith in you would grow, as we read what you did with all the other saints of old, as we slip into Joshua's shoes in 2018, as we have to strap on our sword and take up our shield, remind us, O Lord, that this is what you said would happen. You said we would have to fight, Lord. As Paul reminded us, to fight the good fight. Lord, we know that the enemy is active and he wants to defeat your people. But Lord, we are more than conquerors in you. Help us, Lord, to remember that in 2018. As we say goodbye to 2017, help us to remember that as we step into this new year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.